This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, hi, Mac.
Hi, Pastor.
Well, say, what are you doing over there with that cloth?
Well, I'm working very hard to clean a stain off of this tablecloth.
Really? Well, do you always clean your tablecloth by hand like that?
Well, no. Actually, I usually just throw them in the washing machine, but this one needs special attention because Lois couldn't get the ink spot out. See it?
Oh, yeah. I can see the ink spot. I guess, yeah. I noticed it.
Mm-hmm. So, I've got some cleaning fluid here, and I'm going to try to rub it out. But it's not really working, to tell you the truth. But
well, you know, Mac, it's unfortunate because that's a really beautiful tablecloth. You know, it's a shame, but I don't know, it's not too noticeable.
No, it isn't too noticeable, but it's a very special tablecloth. It's Belgian handmade lace, and it's been in the family for quite a while. And I was writing some checks on the kitchen table, and my pen leaked on it. And, boy, I really caught it from the wife.
Well, I'll pray for you, Mac. But, you know, I do think your tablecloth is looking a little better.
Yeah, but it's not perfect, Pastor. It's got to be perfect. The spot's not completely gone. Lois doesn't want to see me or the tablecloth in the house.
Oh, okay. Well, that does sound pretty serious, Mac. But you know, come to think of it, it actually sounds a lot like God.
Really? Because I was kind of hoping to get a break by the time I got to heaven.
Well, here's what I mean, Mac. God's standard for everyone is total, absolute, spotless perfection. That's what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
I guess that kind of rules me out.
Well, Mac, it rules me out too. I'm a sinner as well. But even though I'm a sinner, Mac, I know that I will see God, just like Moses was able to see God.
Yeah, but Moses was a pretty holy guy, you know? You and I are a pretty long ways from being like Moses.
Well, I don't know. What makes you think like that, Mac? You see, Moses was guilty of many sins, too. Let me give you just one example. There was a time when Moses disobeyed a direct order from God. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do. He was in the desert, right there in the desert, and God told him to speak to a rock, and water was going to come out, right?
Right.
But he got angry or something, and then he hit the rock with his staff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that story always kind of bothered me, Pastor.
It bothered you? Why does it bother you, man?
Well, because of one tiny little, it wasn't a big deal. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. That seems like, you know, like the consequence didn't quite fit the crime, but I don't know, you're the pastor, you tell me.
Well, you know, it really fits the point I'm trying to make, Mac. It doesn't matter if the sin is little or big, sin separates us from God. Without holiness, Mac, without absolute purity of heart, no one will ever see God.
I'm a little confused here, Pastor.
Okay.
So you show me that Moses wasn't perfect. I mean, he wasn't completely pure of heart, but he still got to see God. But I thought you said without holiness, nobody gets to see God.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a contradiction to me.
Well, you know, Mac, it does sound like a contradiction, doesn't it? But here's the solution. Do you remember the story when Moses asked if he could see God's glory?
Maybe.
Well, here, let me refresh your memory.
Okay.
You see, Moses wanted some assurance that God's presence would be with him as he led the people. So God told Moses he was pleased with him. He even calls Moses by name, and he promises that his presence will be with Moses. But you see, Moses had never seen God in his glory. Moses was a essentially saying, God, if you're real, please show yourself to me.
Mm-hmm.
However, God knew that no sinner can see him in his glory and live.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Well, interestingly, God puts Moses in the cleft of a rock. And then God passes by in all his glory. But Moses doesn't get to see God's glory fully face to face. Instead, Moses sees God's glory from behind. And as a result, Moses still lives.
But how is that possible if he wasn't pure of heart?
Well, the answer, Mac, is not that Moses was pure, but the reason Moses lived was because of God's mercy.
So Moses gets to see God because of mercy?
Exactly, Mac. You see, what we need to understand is that even though Jesus demands purity of heart, here's the thing. Purity of heart is not a matter of doing good and not doing bad.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, purity of heart is a matter of faith. Faith in God's promise to give us purity in Jesus. In fact, remember that Bible passage from Abraham we talked about a few weeks ago? It read, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
So you're saying that the purity that's needed to see God isn't about doing something, instead it's about believing someone? Is that it?
Exactly, Mac. It's about believing someone. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that does help me understand some things that I've been reading lately, because I was reading about King David.
Uh-huh.
My devotions this morning from Psalm 51, King David wrote in that psalm, see, he wrote, he asked God to cleanse him from sin, and then he asked God to give him a new heart.
You know, that's really an excellent example, Mac. I remember now King David's Psalm 51. David understood that he could do nothing to purify himself from sin. David knew that his only hope was to confess his sin and trust in God who cleanses us from our sin for Jesus' sake.
It makes a lot of sense, Pastor. But something still confuses me.
Oh, really?
In Psalm 51, David says, cleanse me with hyssop?
Yeah.
And I will be clean. But what's he talking about? Isn't hyssop like a tree or something?
Oh, that's a good question, Matt. You see, in the Old Testament, you can read how God commanded Israel's priests to offer animal blood sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. The priests then would take branches from the hyssop plant and dip them in the sacrificial blood. And then they would sprinkle that sacrificial blood on the people as a sign that their sins were forgiven because something else had suffered and died in their place of punishment. Now, of course, those animal sacrifices didn't actually take away their sins. Instead, those animal sacrifices were pictures of Jesus and the blood that he would shed on the cross for us.
So, I think I get it. So when David said, cleanse me with hyssop, he was actually asking God to forgive him for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, Mac. Even in the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. Say, you know, it looks like you're getting a little closer to getting that stain out of your tablecloth.
Well, not really, to tell you the truth. I mean, I can still see the spot. I think short of some forgiveness on my wife's part, I'm going to be living in the garage from now on.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that, Mac. But you know what? Don't worry. I think I might have a solution to your stain problem.
Really? Because I'm getting pretty desperate here.
Okay, let me explain. A few years ago, I got a stain, a horrible stain, mustard, on one of my favorite nice black shirts. Well, no matter what we did, we couldn't get the stain out. So what my wife did eventually was she sewed a beautiful white lace cross over my stain, and it covered it completely. So now when I do wear that black shirt, people see the white cross instead of the mustard stain.
So are you saying that I should sew a white cross on the tablecloth? You know, that's not a bad idea, Pastor. It would look nice. And it would be a good witness as well. Every time we eat, then we would also be reminded of Christ's sacrifice.
That's right. In fact, you know what, Mac? That white cross, whether it's covering the stain on your tablecloth or covering the stain on my shirt, it reminds me again of Jesus' words, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
What's the point?
Well, Mac, even though Jesus forgives our sins completely, and even though he purifies our hearts, the fact is we still struggle with sins in this life. We struggle with sins of thought, word, and deed. So even though we are now God's forgiven children through faith in Jesus, I'm afraid the ugly stain of our sinful nature still remains with us in this life.
Okay, I agree with you there. But what does this have to do with the white cross that we're talking about?
Well, Mac, I was thinking of what God does for us in holy baptism. In holy baptism, the Bible says we are clothed with the perfect righteousness of Christ. In fact, do you remember what St. Paul says about baptism?
Well, St. Paul says a lot of things. What does he have in mind?
Well, specifically, I had in mind what he says in Galatians chapter 3. He says, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ."
Okay, right. I see the connection. Just like the white cross covers up the stain on my shirt, or the stain on your shirt, and on my tablecloth, The righteousness of Christ covers the stain of our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so when God looks at us, he doesn't see the ugly stain of sin, but he sees Christ covering us.
Exactly, Matt. You see, those who are pure in heart, they are the ones who are clothed with Christ's own righteousness. So that's how even a sinner like you and me can know that we will see God.
So that means that sinners like you and I will get to see God through our faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a blessing.
Yes, Mac, what a blessing indeed. In a few moments, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.
Yes,